Along the things already said, I welcome you this afternoon. We have a good crowd, visitors among us, and we're glad to see you. Our appeal is to the truth. We encourage you to get your Bible and follow along in our study. Take whatever notes you might like to, that you might have this material for your further study. And if you hear something taught that you believe is wrong, I stand to be corrected. If you'd point that out to me, I'll be happy to look into that. And if it be the case I've taught error, I'll make the proper correction. But should you find that this teaching is in harmony with the will of God, which I believe you will, I hope that you'll make application of it to your life and help others to appreciate these same truths. I want to talk to you for just a few moments about the expression on the board, save like Noah. And I'm reading as a basis for our study today from the book of 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. The apostle wrote, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure, whereinto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. What the Apostle Peter is doing is making a comparison between Noah's salvation in the days of the flood and our salvation today from sin. And I'd like to suggest to you how you can be saved like Noah. Let me suggest to you, first of all, that the Bible teaches that Noah was saved by the grace of God. I take us back to the days of Noah in the book of Genesis and the sixth chapter. The situation is that the earth is filled with violence. It's very corrupt. Things have gotten so bad that God has decided to send a global flood to destroy all flesh from the face of the earth. Verse 5 reports, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the face of the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I'll destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Now watch verse 8. But Noah found, what did he find? Grace in the eyes of the Lord. God's grace made it possible for Noah to be saved from the destruction of the old world. The word grace simply means favor. That is God's unmerited favor. Favor that is not earned and is not deserved. If it weren't for God's grace, there's no way that Noah could have been saved. Did you know that just as Noah was saved by grace, the Bible teaches that you and I today are saved by God's grace? Writing the Ephesians in chapter 2, when Paul talked about the salvation of these people, he penned in verse 5, by grace you're saved. And then in verse 8, for by grace are you saved. And so you can be saved today, like Noah, by God's grace. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, Titus 2, and in verse 11. Now that doesn't mean that all men are going to be saved, but that God's made it possible for all who want to be saved. And you ought to be grateful that God has bestowed His grace on you, making it possible for you to be saved. Now, some think that we're saved by grace alone. If that's true, then everybody in the world will be saved. Nobody will be lost. Because as Paul pointed out in Titus 2:11, the grace of God hath appeared to all. But we'll find that Noah wasn't saved by grace alone. Other things entered into his salvation. And we're not saved by grace alone either. For the Bible indicates that a second thing that was involved in Noah's salvation is the fact that he was saved by his faith. Noah had faith in God. The Hebrew writer picked up on that in Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 7. What the Hebrew writer is doing is calling attention to some outstanding people in the Old Testament of faith. He starts with Abel. In verse 4, mentions Enoch in verse 5. And in verse 7, he talks about good old Noah. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. You might circle the words, by faith, Noah. Noah is saved by faith. Now, you and I too are saved by faith. If we're going to be saved, we absolutely must have faith in God. In Hebrews 11 and in verse 6, the Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Without faith, you can't please God. And Jesus taught in John 8 and in verse 24, if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. And in verse 21, He said, if you die in your sins, whither I go, ye cannot come. Without faith, we can't go to heaven. Remember the golden text in the Bible? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In Romans 5 and 1, Paul said, being justified by what? By faith, we have peace with God. And so it's pretty clear that if we're going to be saved like Noah, we must have faith. Most people have been told that to be saved, all you have to do is just have faith, that you're saved by faith alone. Noah was not saved by faith alone, because we've gone too far in our study for that to be true. If he would have been saved by faith alone, then he would not have been saved by grace. And when the Bible teaches that we're saved by grace through faith, Ephesians 2 and 8, it shows that there's more than grace alone or faith alone, and that you and I are not saved by any one thing alone, but that there are several things that work together to bring about our salvation. Faith's vital, but it alone, by itself, will not get the job done. There are some other things that were involved in Noah's salvation. Not only was Noah saved by grace and by faith, but the Bible indicates that he was saved by fear. Remember that passage in Hebrews 11 and in verse 7? By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. That goes back to the story in Genesis 6 when God talked about flood waters that had not fallen. Evidently it had not even rained because there was a mist that went up that watered the earth. And when he heard the warning of God, the Bible says he moved with something. Remember what he moved with? Fear. The kind of fear that moved him to do what God said, to build the ark. The Bible says prepared an ark to the saving of his house. To be possessed by fear of God does not mean that we're afraid of him, but that we stand in awe of him. We respect him. We reverence him. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, when wise Solomon talked about the aging process, and he described that different ways, like the keepers of the house trembling, the grinders cease because they're few, those that look out of the windows be darkened, the strong men bow, the almond trees shall flourish. And he pictured death as the bowl being broken in the pitcher. Remember that? And then he said in verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Here's the grand conclusion, the meaning and purpose of life in one sentence. You know what it is? You know what life's all about? Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or evil. There's coming a day in the which we'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:10, to give an account of what we've done in this body. And in light of that, I need to move with fear. I need to respect God. Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14. In Acts 10, 34 and 35, when Peter was called to Cornelius' place to preach the gospel to this Gentile, he said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. That shows the impartiality of God. But in every nation, America, China, Philippines, Chile, Russia, in every nation, he that feareth him, that's God, and worketh righteousness, is accepted with him. If I want to be accepted with God, then I need to move with fear, reverence for God, like Noah. that whenever God tells me to do something in His Word, whatever it is, whether I see any sense in it or not, I'm going to do that. Noah was saved by fear. I'll tell you another thing that was involved in Noah's salvation, number four. And that is the fact that the Bible indicates that he was saved by obedience. And that he did what God said to do. God's grace revealed to him a plan. That plan involved the building of an ark. Noah's the ark builder. In Genesis 6 and 14, God said, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood." Not only did he tell him the material to use in the construction of it, he told him the dimensions of it, the number of stories, three stories, and the number of doors and windows, one door and one window. Now, if you'd been given that job, would you have done what God said? Could it have been said of you as it was of Noah? In the book of Genesis 6 and verse 22, "Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he." Sometimes I preach a little sermon I call Expressions of Obedience. And that's one of them. Noah's obedience is expressed in this statement. According to all that God commanded him, so did he. In chapter 7, verse 5, again it said of the ark builder, "And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him." He didn't do just some of what God said. He didn't do most of what God said, but the Bible says he did all that the Lord commanded him. And so you can't help but be impressed with the fact that obedience was involved in his salvation. He did what God said. You and I, too, are saved by obedience. If this book teaches anything at all, it teaches the need to do what God says, doesn't it? The Lord pointed that out in the mountain message. In Matthew chapter 7, in verse 21, he said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom, but what? He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." If I'm going to go to heaven, I've got to do what God says. In Luke's account, chapter 6 and verse 46, he put it in the question, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Remember how the Lord likened the individual who hears but does not? He's like a foolish man. When it rains and the floods come and the winds blow, the house falls, doesn't it? Because it's built on sand. But the wise man represents the individual who hears and does. A man of obedience. When the storms of life prevail, he stands. He endures. Because he's built on a rock. How are you building from a spiritual standpoint? In the book of James chapter 1, 22 to 25, James talked about, "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only." If you're just a hearer, you're like the man that looks in the mirror, he sees himself, and he forgets what manner of man he is, and he goes his way. But the man that does is the man that's blessed. And so, I need to be impressed with that as well from the book of Hebrews in chapter 5, 8 and 9, when the ambassador to the Hebrews talked about Christ, how that he is the author of eternal salvation unto who? All them that obey. Somebody ask you, how many are going to be saved? How would you answer that? How does the Bible answer that? All who obey. Does that include you? I hope it does. That you and I recognize that if we're going to be saved, we're going to be saved like Noah. And that is by His grace, through our faith, moving with fear, that leads us to obedience. But that's not all that is entered into Noah's salvation. The Bible teaches also that Noah was saved by water. Did you know Noah was saved by water? In 1 Peter 3, 20 and 21, the text with which we started, the Bible says Noah was saved by water. Look at that. Last three words. Saved by water. Wherein? That is in the ark. Few. By the way, how many were saved? Few. Eight souls. Noah, Mrs. Noah, their three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and their wives. Saved by water. Somebody said, how in the world were they saved by water? Well, in the book of Genesis in chapter 7 and in verse 17, The Bible says the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased, and, listen to this, bear up the ark. And it was lift up above the earth. And so they were saved by water, in that the flood waters buoyed up the ark, kept it afloat. Now, as Noah was saved by water, the Bible teaches that you and I are saved by baptism. We're not saved by water. We're saved by baptism. But God has used water in baptism. That's the figure that's made in 1 Peter 3, 20 and 21. He said, the like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. You might as well deny that Noah was saved by water as to try to deny the importance and significance of baptism in our salvation. Now, don't go away saying that we believe or teach that you're saved by water. You didn't hear me say that. We don't believe that. We don't teach that. We believe that we're saved by baptism, and baptism involves water. Like the man of Ethiopia in Acts 8 when he said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. And when they were come up out of the water, and when you're baptized, we'll do the very same thing. You and I will go down into the water. You'll be baptized, and you can come up out of the water just like he did. And as he went on his way rejoicing, you will too, because your sins have been forgiven. You've been made clean and saved by God's grace through faith and moving with fear that resulted in your obedience to the command to be baptized. You remember in the book of Acts in chapter 10 and 11, reading about the conversion of Cornelius, how that he preached the impartiality of God. God's no respecter of persons, as we noted earlier. And then in the latter part of that conversion chapter, Acts 10, 47, 48, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Baptism is a command. It's a command that is necessary for the remission of sins. As Peter preached in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Why? Why be baptized? For the remission of sins. In Acts 22 and 16, Saul of Tarsus met up with a certain disciple named Ananias within the city of Damascus. And Ananias said, and now why tarriest thou? In other words, what are you waiting for, Saul? Arise and be baptized. Why do that? And wash away thy sins. Baptism is designed to wash away sins because it puts us into contact with Christ's blood. As we're baptized into His death, Romans 6, 3 and 4, where His blood was shed according to the crucifixion scene in John 19, 33 and 34. And His blood was shed for the remission of sins, Matthew 26, 28. Whereas John said in Revelation 1 and in verse 5, to wash us from our sins. That's why we implore you and plead with you to be baptized. As Noah was saved by water, you and I are saved by baptism. But then again, as you think about saved like Noah, there's one other thing I want you to be impressed with this afternoon. And that is the fact that Noah was saved in something. You know where he had to be in order to be saved? In an ark. That passage we read, 1 Peter 3, 20 and 21. Did you notice that word wherein? You might circle that. Wherein? That is the ark. Few were saved. Go back to Genesis and circle or underline a few pages with me when the Bible stresses the importance of being in the ark. Genesis chapter 7. In verse 1, the Lord said unto Noah, come, thou and all thy house. What's the next word? Into. You ought to circle that. Into. Into what? The ark. And then in verse 7, Noah went in. And his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Then verse 9, there went, what's the next word? In. Two and two unto Noah. Into the ark. Verse 13, in the selfsame day entered, circled and entered, Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them, watch this, into the ark. Verse 15, and they went in. Y'all circle these. In, into, wherein, entered. They went in unto Noah, into the ark. Verse 16. They that went, where did they go? And. Went in. Male and female of all fleshes, God commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Can't get away from that word, can you? Then, here's verse 23. This is the clincher. Every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and the creeping things and the fowl of the heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him. I got a question for you. Why only Noah and they that were with him remained alive? Why is it that every living substance was destroyed? Last three words of verse 22. Or 23 rather. In the ark. That's the answer. They were saved where? In the ark. If you're going to be saved in the days of Noah, you had to be in the ark. And everybody outside the ark was destroyed. Now, if I'm going to be saved this afternoon, did you know I have to be in something? His church. Christ and the church is our ark of safety. As God put salvation in the ark in the days of Noah, He's put salvation in Christ and His church today. Let me just draw you a circle. Allow this to be Christ and the church. That's where salvation is. According to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2, and in verse 10, Paul said, salvation which is in Christ. And whatever is in Christ is in the church, because the church is the fullness of Christ. Ephesians 1, 23. They go together. As Paul talked about the husband and wife in Ephesians 5, he said, I speak concerning Christ and the church. Verse 32. The word and ties Christ and the church together like a coupling pin between two railroad cars on a train. Where one goes, the other goes. They go together like a husband and wife, like a house and a foundation, and a head and a body. And so to be in one is to be in the other. And what puts us into one is in the other. And that's what we just talked about a moment ago, baptism. As Galatians chapter 3 and in verse 27 says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Somebody said, I like to be in Christ. I want that salvation that Paul talked about. I want to be saved. It's in Christ and His body, which is the church. And we're baptized into it. How many were saved in the days of Noah? All those that were in the ark. Who's going to be saved today? All those that are in Christ and His church. We'd like to encourage you this afternoon to be saved like Noah. To be saved by God's grace. Just as God's grace made it possible for this man to be saved, He's made it possible for you to be saved. He revealed to Noah a plan. And that plan involved him making an ark. He has a plan for you. It's contained in the New Testament. It outlines what it is that He wants you to do. And as Noah had faith to do what God said, you and I need to have that kind of faith. That whatever God's told us to do, that's what we're going to do. As He moved with fear, I need to have respect for God that motivates me to do His will. As He saved by obedience, as it said, He did according to all that God commanded Him. All them that obey Christ shall be saved. As He is saved by water, we're saved by baptism. And we'll take you this afternoon and baptize you if you'd like to do that. We make that available to you. If you'd like to be saved like Noah, we'll go and take care of that. Everything's been taken care of as far as clothing, and all you need to do is to let us know. I'd like to be baptized. I want to be saved like Noah. Let's go. And we'll assist you in going under the water, down into the water, baptizing you. You can come up out of the water and be in Christ and His church and have the hope and the promise of life beyond the grave. If that sounds of interest to you, you'd like to do that, why don't you step out of the aisle and come to the front. Take a seat up here, and having believed on the Lord with all of your heart to repent of your past sins, to confess your faith, I believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, will take you and baptize you. Maybe you've already done that, but you've gotten out of the ark. Maybe you've left. You've left the Lord. You've not been faithful as a church member. you need to recognize the importance of being faithful, of obedience, continuing to do what God says. You're like Simon, who, after he was baptized, his heart was not right in the sight of God. He was told, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God that perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven." If that's your situation, don't leave here in that condition. How sad to think that you could die or the Lord could come at any moment and be unprepared to meet the Lord in judgment. Why don't you just make the acknowledgement that, you know, I've not been doing what I need to do, and I want to get my life straightened out. I want to get back on track. I want to do what's right. And I need your prayers. Would you pray for me? That was what Simon said. Pray to the Lord for me. And as you repent of it, you turn from that's wrong and do what's right and ask for God's forgiveness in prayer. We have the confidence that He'll forgive us, that He'll receive us back and restore us. And then that all is well with our soul as we continue to do what's right in His sight. If we can assist you in this hour in obedience to the Lord, making your life right with Him, would you come up front here and let us help you right now? Well, together we now stand and sing.